A proposal by Customs and Border Protection to start using foreign travelers' social media identities to screen them for potential terrorist ties is generating blowback from civil libertarians. Nearly three dozen free speech and civil liberties organizations penned an open letter to CBP this week, saying a new question on their visa waiver forms, asking foreigners to supply their online identities, would not only be intrusive, it would also be ineffective. The proposal has also generated more than 700 comments on regulations.gov. Rita Kant is a free expression fellow at the Center for Democracy and Technology, one of the groups that signed the letter. She says she understands the government's security concerns, but this proposal won't solve them.
Sure. I mean, it seems like the obvious go-to response to this kind of thing, especially when we're considering all of the great fears about foreign fighters returning to the U.S. and staging some kind of attack. But what we also know is that a lot of material on social media is just completely unreliable and inaccurate. And on a kind of program that's allegedly voluntary, as this purports to be, we can't really expect, I don't think, that people with that kind of intent to harm the U.S. will self-disclose incriminating information.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's a little bit vague in the proposed rule because it describes this as an optional data field. Is it your understanding that a traveler could decide to fill that in or not, or is it that the question could show up on some forms and not on others?
At this point, we don't know a lot about the proposal or what the exact language will look like, so it's really hard to speculate. What I think we do know is that most people who want to come to the U.S. to visit family or to engage in business or just to be a tourist and enjoy the sights are going to feel that there is some kind of compulsion to disclose something, if not everything, to customs. And so, you know, this frames itself as a voluntary disclosure mechanism, but I think realistically it's not going to be perceived that way from the people that it's targeting.
Right. I think in my mind, if I was reading this kind of form, the first thing that would come into my head is, oh, if I don't fill this out, my chances of being approved go down.
Right, exactly. And there's nothing in the guidance or information that was provided by DHS that explains that no, customs can't make improper inferences based on your decision not to disclose.
The letter talks a bit about the intrusiveness of this. So why is an online identity, in your view, so much more intrusive than the kinds of things CBP is already asking from visa waiver applicants, which are things like, you know, your name, place of birth, where you've traveled lately?
Right. Well, we think that social media itself is so much more than, you know, single factor information sources. I mean, it's your friends and family, it's your political views and your religious leanings, and it's your reading list and your sources of information. It's so much about the sort of expressive and idiosyncratic personal behavior we do in our lives that has really very little relevance to our admissibility into a country. So we think that kind of very sort of close look into who we are as individuals through our social media is much more intrusive than the stuff that they ask for about where you intend to stay and how long you're going to be here.
Mm-hmm. And the DHS notice points to this collection being for just visa screening purposes, really. But your letter suggests that it would turn into a bulk surveillance program and the data would be shared throughout the intelligence community. What do you base that on? Why do you believe this data would go beyond CBP purposes?
Well, for a few reasons. For starters, CBP has, as a subsidiary of the Department of Homeland Security, it's been part of a huge social media information collection program in the past. So DHS does a lot of analytics about social media, and that's for intelligence purposes and not for custom screening purposes. So it's got that infrastructure. But of course, also we know that this whole form change is motivated by the fear of foreign fighters and the attack on San Bernardino. And it's pretty infeasible, we think, for a customs official going through somebody's application to be able to actually make this information useful for screening purposes. There has to be some other reason that this vast undertaking would be done. And the real utility of this kind of data collection lies in sort of the mass bulk collection of identity and social network information from innocent travelers, not just, you know, the visitor who wants to do harm to the United States.
And along those lines a little bit, you guys are highlighting what you say are some discrimination concerns that, you think are going to fall hardest on Arab and Muslim communities. Why those in particular?
Well, we know that, you know, flying while Muslim is the real thing. People get pulled off flights all the time because they are reading Arabic flashcards or because they are speaking in Arabic or some language perceived to be Arabic. People of Muslim faith and Arab descent face a lot of discrimination, and especially while traveling. So we think this kind of proposal will just put that into overdrive. If you are tweeting about your faith or your religious belief, your opposition to U.S. foreign engagement, and you happen to have Muslim background or name, this will only make you more of a target for scrutiny and potentially other adverse immigration decisions.
Let's talk about implementation costs a little bit, because that's another matter that you folks get into in your open letter. Why do you think DHS is lowballing the actual expense that they would have to go through in order to make use of this data?
Well, I mean, obviously, social media is a time suck, as we know. If we expect our customs agents to scroll through someone's entire digital life and make sense of it, that's going to be a huge expense. And right now, I think currently the average internet user has 5 social media accounts. That's a lot of trawling. And like I sort of indicated earlier, there's so much opportunity for misunderstanding, misinterpretation, to understand where someone's coming from in a joke or a sort of sardonic tweet. You really have to know the context behind it, and getting that contextual understanding requires a lot more time, a lot more analysis, and that's definitely not represented in the proposal, which suggests that maybe an additional 10 minutes per application evaluation will be required.
Right. This is a little bit beyond the scope of your letter, and I know it's not necessarily your job to advise DHS on security matters, but I mean, are there ways that the department could make use of online information, online behavior to screen people against possible terrorist connections in a way that's not as intrusive?
Certainly a lot of, it's true that a lot of people in government are now putting a lot of attention and funding into machine learning capabilities that will supposedly be able to, you know, algorithmically identify connections between people and events and content, and then, you know, in theory, make the whole process more efficient, make the human review a lot simpler and faster and more accurate. But we've seen, you know, Facebook right now has a newsfeed that algorithm that can supposedly tailor your personalized feed to all your interests, preferences, and your political leanings. They're trying to identify people's political affiliations based on their sort of history of social media engagement. But we also know that those algorithms can be really wrong. We get marketed with products and perspectives that are completely off base a lot, all the time. That's one thing if it's, you know, Facebook trying to get you interested in a new pundit or a new, you know, organization trying to advocate certain views. It's different if it's the government making erroneous conclusions based on your social media account and using that against you potentially with very adverse, immigration or surveillance consequences. Algorithms can't replace ultimately the human review, and meaningful human review, I think, on the scale is what makes it so expensive.